Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
No. Send it back. No.
Welcome in.
I don't want
it. The DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Pick of the week for you today. Just do whatever Megan says. Because she called a Mikko Rantanen hat trick tonight. I don't even know what the odds on that would have been.
A lot.
Yeah, definitely a lot. So head on
Mikko
over.
Mikko places bets.
Yeah, not anymore. I'm passing the torch off to Megan. I'm done with it. Oh,
yeah, we'll call it Megan's Moneymaker.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go. I've never placed a bet in my life. I just say things.
You just say things.
I don't want to put money behind it. I think the power.
I like that you've at least got the parlance, placed a bet. Because the last time that you told us that you had never bet on sports, it was, I've never
no,
done
No, she's
a,
never.
I know.
Said,
yeah.
I've never done a sports betting. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah. I've never done a sports betting.
Sports betting.
That's what she said. I've never placed a bet. So we're
getting close.
That door is open, all right? That's the gateway. Talking about betting is the gateway to betting.
Like, you don't have to place a bet. You just have to tell me what you want, and then I'll place those bets. I will reap the rewards, and I'll give you a high five afterwards.
Head on over to DraftKings.
We'll never get our steak dinners.
That's true. Ooh. Be sure to use the DNVR code. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is toasty up here.
Are there any promotions for people who've never done a sports bet on DraftKings?
There are first-time user bets yeah. every day.
You get like up to $1,000 matched.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so they match deposits that you make, and then they give you free bets along the way. That's and they're so usually nice. Like literally free bets where yeah. they're like, if this team gets 1 yard of offense in the game,
you get $200.
You get $200 yeah. worth of free bets, and they break it down into eight $25 bets.
I don't know about this.
So,
plus Jesus. 5,000. Not bad.
Can we
I
talk
agree
about
with Kay.
New
I can't
hook?
Bet.
No, we refuse. We will talk about nobody today. Nobody.
Anyway,
do we have a timer? I've got a 60-second recap to do.
Avs do win 6-3. AJ's going to try and do this in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Great.
A minute?
Gives me a chance here.
Don't start, man. Jesse's not here.
A minute to set up for a minute recap. Yeah. All right.
It's a 1-to-1 ratio. Okay. Wait,
it's like 1990s CD burning.
Ready?
Man. That was more like 2000.
One, go.
All right, so a great first period for the Avs. A great first period. They dominate the game. They get goals from Logan O'Connor and JT Compher, which are...
Depth boys!
Needed that.
Those are depth goals, yeah. Especially because you look at the lines for those, you get your defense has 3 of the 4 assists. Alex Newhook has the other. Sick.
Yep.
That's the system working, okay? And then the second period started, and Mikko Rantanen outweighs poor Elvis Merzlikins. Makes it 3-0. That lead lasts about the blink of an eye, maybe 2 blinks of an eye. And the penalty parade began that would dominate the second period. And then it got to 3-1 immediately. Eventually gets to 3-2 as Columbus takes over. The third period starts. Columbus ties it at 3-3 early on in the third period. And then the Avs run away with it as Mikko Rantanen catches in a hat trick and they win 6-3. Woo!
Just going to ignore Cale Makar's first goal like that, huh?
That's what the rest of the fucking show is for, bro.
He looked over and saw the time. He was like,
I saw the 10 seconds and I was in the second period and was like, all right.
My boy.
It was the start of the second period with 20 seconds left. I was like,
let's do this.
Great recap, AJ.
Got it.
Worst.
Megan approved.
Worst part of the hockey game.
Second period.
Blowing a 3-goal lead or the reffing?
Look, for me, it's blowing the 3-goal lead. Like,
sure.
It's, yeah. It's absolutely, and it's the second 3-goal lead that you've blown in as many games.
Yep.
So that's a problem. You can't dress that up. But holy shit, the officiating was awful. Dudes must have thought that they were on, like, primetime television because they wanted to be front row, center stage, the works. They wanted to be on camera all game.
They wanted to keep it close. Keep it interesting.
It was so brutal.
The thing that drives me crazy about this is not that they were making soft calls, but that they were hilariously inconsistent.
I just want clarification because I never actually looked it up, but was it actually a too many men that they called?
It was, yes.
There were
only five dudes?
We never saw any indication that there were more than five guys on the ice.
They showed the replay and there was only five guys
There were four dudes at one point on that replay.
The replay that they showed in the game was four guys with a fifth that hopped on, and that's when they called the penalty. And it was... Everybody was like, what the fuck? So... I want to know if that was legitimately like a truly phantom call.
Every angle I've seen, it's not legit. But
okay, because I know that we always go back and like take a look at these things later when we're like, what? That one I never saw, and it didn't seem like I wasn't like on Twitter throughout the game, but I checked it pretty quickly to see if anybody else
had it or whatever.
And
yeah.
I never saw anything. Yeah. I never once saw that penalty, not once. So that was one where you're like, you blow a 3-goal lead. Yeah.
And
but holy smokes, was there some help getting there?
Like, this isn't even about the Avalanche blowing the lead or anything for me. You as the NHL are putting your game on a global stage.
Yeah.
And that's the reffing you bring?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Like, I think Chris Rooney sucks, but I don't think TJ Luxmore is that bad of an official. But to see how that game got called was absolutely frustrating. Like it was absolutely frustrating because you're talking about by the time you get to the third period and they call the double minor on Dryden Hunt.
Yeah.
It's a double minor.
He hit him in the face with a stick.
With a stick. Yeah. He draws blood. Like
pretty clear cut.
There isn't anything that you could complain about. You're like, now we're at this point. You've called, and then the slash that they call in line A.
Yep.
It's right on his hands. It prevents him from making a play. It's like all of these things were relevant. Those are two absolutely legitimate, true blue penalties. They were both called correctly, a double minor and a minor.
They're the 13th call of the game because of all the shit that you've got.
They've spent all game like ticky-tacky, like making shit up as they go. That when you get legit calls, you're like, Jesus, dude. Like, do you see how ridiculous these calls look compared to the ones earlier?
Yep.
How made up the ones earlier feel when you see what real penalties look like.
How about that McKinnon penalty, though, the cross check?
Oh,
where were we at on that one?
That's not a penalty.
Was that soft?
That's not a penalty.
No? I mean, his arms are extended. Stick across on a guy that's going to the net.
The same play happened, like, 10 times in the third period. Not a single one of them, like, didn't even bat an eye.
But it's not going to the net, though. Like, right? Like, that stuff happens all the time in the corners.
You can't call it differently on because it's this part of the ice.
Sure you can. Like,
they do it all the time.
Yeah. I know, and it's fucking stupid.
I...
No!
I really thought it was a bad call. And then when you've had a penalty parade like this... You have to know players are frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They have no idea what the standard is.
Yeah. To injury.
And then you give them the extra 2 minutes and you just keep yelling at him to get in the box. Like, bro, if you have that big of a problem with it, just kick him the fuck out. You've already put your stamp on the game. Why not go all the way and throw out a star player in the global series? Like, come on.
It just seems like Avs have this like
it's insane.
Do this in the second period a lot where they
yeah.
they take dumb penalties, and like you got to know, like it's a tic-tacky called game, so like you can't do anything, because this is what happens with the Avs. Like they take all these penalties, and the other team gets back into it because more than likely they're gonna get a point or two out of it.
And look, for the record, PK was honestly great tonight.
Yeah, they killed two double minors. The goal that gets scored on a power play tonight from Columbus, or on today, not tonight, but does not occur on either one of their double minors.
Yeah.
They had two 4-minute power play opportunities.
Yep.
Because the first one was like 3:40 or
whatever.
but did not score on either one of those. And those were in big situations.
Yep.
They needed those. They needed those kills, and they got them. It was great.
And we'll get to the second. I just wanted to get the reffing stuff out of the way so we don't have to talk about it for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Circle back to the first period. Best period of the season for Colorado, maybe?
It was good.
For lines 2 through 4, yes. Absolutely.
I mean, there really didn't feel like a downside to that period to me. Yeah. I mean,
shots ended up like 13-5 or something like that.
Yeah, I had one scare there with Georgie where it hit the post.
Yeah, it hit the post.
And then he grabbed it. Yeah, and then they poked it in. Yeah,
under his body, like they pitchforked him to dislodge the puck as it slid in.
Really, the
16-7.
Six.
Wow.
The one problem you had left with the Avs offense, depth scoring.
Yep.
You get a goal, new hook to O'Connor. And you get a goal on a tip in from JT Compher. Depth scoring solved? Check mark. We're done.
Solved. Done.
Well, I mean,
stocks are going up.
You've gotten right. Two goals out of your bottom six at that point. It's hard to call anybody like bottom six. Like
the rotation is super weird.
You could really even just say bottom nine, because that top line continue, like you expect the top line to score.
Yeah. Yep.
But you got two goals out of the rest of your forwards, which has been the problem.
And I think the concern too was this perceived demotion to Newhook. How will that affect his ability to be visible? And it was a really quick response to see him set up that play to OC and make himself visible. A lot of that was largely driven by Newhook's drive up the ice. And so I credit him a lot with how that goal gets scored. And I think that's a pretty good answer to, can Newhook continue to succeed even if he is at a slightly lesser role.
2 points in 2 games.
Yep.
I like it.
And I think, I should go back and watch it before I bring this up, but does he catch them in a change there? Is that why there was the space that they had? Is that Newhook just went up the ice? I'd have to watch it back.
Yeah.
I'll watch it real quick.
Because he received it from in the AV zone, so they might have been in
half and half kind of. Yeah. And look,
scroll a long way.
There's a lot of my breakdown's going to be a work of art.
they are kind of in a change.
Okay,
and the guy comes off the bench and goes right at Newhook, and that's how
he can
the
get
center
across,
of the ice ended up open.
Yeah,
is that nobody took Newhook, and when Newhook saw that he had LLC in the middle and that he had a 1-on-2, he just moves the puck to open space, and they get a break. That puck hits the defender's stick and ramps up and goes in, but that's good offense. Like that's
well,
you put yourself in a position to get a break like that with all good decisions and good hockey. Crisp passing, good decision making, go to open space. Like seems easy, right? When it works like that.
And Newhook was all over the place tonight, doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Zone entries, defensively, you name it. And you know, again, the lines are a mess. It feels like every other shift, Bednar's throwing somebody with somebody else in the Avs' bottom
which
nine.
Which I think continues to be part of their problem.
Yeah.
Is that they're not, don't know who they are playing with shift to shift.
I wasn't.
And so when you have a conversation on the bench afterward about, oh, I'm taking this guy, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm seeing. Well, okay, great. Now on the next shift, it's a different guy out there.
I wasn't going to bring this up till later, but you had Jacob McDonald play 3 minutes tonight.
Dude, what's the point?
And you had Mikhail Maltsev play five.
I liked Maltsev's game.
And you're essentially playing with 16 skaters at that point. Like,
yeah, Evan Rodriguez had like a 23-minute night.
Yeah, let the Avs a nice
second. Would you just be better off removing those guys from your roster and saving the cap space?
Right, you might
as
well.
If you're going to use them like that?
Certainly McDonald at 3 minutes. Like, what's the point?
I don't get it.
I think this is where the Abe Kubel
waiver claim
today. I would prefer to do this at the end of the show.
Right.
Talk about this.
I was gonna, but we just kind of walked into the room.
Yeah, we just sort of backed into. Let's table it for the end of the show. We'll put a pin in it.
Second goal, you get a tip in from JT Compher. I had a sneaking suspicion that this Finland trip could be a get right trip for Colorado, given Columbus's poor season so far and things like that. But they really solved every problem that they've had, and will sort of. It's certainly offensively. We'll get to Makar's goal in a little bit. This game, as a whole, it felt like the Colorado Avalanche offense that you're used to.
I'm glad you singled out offense.
Yeah, defense is a different conversation. Yeah. We're going to get there.
Because I do agree with you. This felt like certainly three lines that attacked. Three lines that had varying degrees of effectiveness. Three lines that were effective. They did the job. I mean, you get goals from throughout your lineup. You get assists from throughout your lineup like that. You get the production from the back end. But all of it, I mean, all aspects of what you expect Avalanche offensively to look like, I think you saw today.
I think it starts, too, when you have depth scoring right off the bat, right? Because that changes the game plan from the other team, where you don't have to just focus on that top line, because when you're looking at the Avs and what has happened in the last 9 games, you're seeing that top line just dominate. So once that happens, then you have to kind of change up your game plan of how you're going to play defense against a team like this, because you're not just worried about one line anymore. You're worried about that whole roster coming at you.
Well, and especially after the first period when you're like, Jesus, these guys just ate us up.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that first period, too, set the tone, just with depth scoring right off the jump, but even the second power play unit being able to capitalize on the power play with an expiring power play comes at an opportune time, especially when you look at the landscape of the game entirely. You see how important that second goal is for this team to have a strong first period.
Yeah, and they needed every inch of it in the end. But
it's too bad it didn't carry over the way that you wanted to.
Well, all right. It carried over for 45 seconds.
True. In the second period. Well, and I think that's the point that the couch has made here in the last minute. is
superstition couch? Yeah. Anyways, is that shut out. Come on.
All right. Well, you tell them they're going to get a shutout next time, and we'll see.
No, we don't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say it before every game now. Just a shirt that says shutout.
No, it needs to be like one of those flippable, like changeable shirts where in one mode it says shh. In the other, it says shut out.
Oh, and like the Christian Horner shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that shirt. It says I'm a hardcore Christian, and then on the back it says Horner hater. It's the best.
Shirt out.
Before we get into the second period, we are brought to you by Avoca TV. You can go get it today at avoca.tv/DNVR. It's EVOCA.tv/DNVR. You can watch the Avs on Altitude there. They've got AT&T Sportsnet as well. They've got national channels. So you're completely covered for your Colorado sports watching needs. Had people asking me where to watch the game on the watch along. Avoca is the way to do it. Check it out today. They're super awesome. You can also watch the DNVR Nuggets Serbia documentary on Avoca right now.
People loving it.
Yeah.
Very well received.
It's good stuff. Also brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. People were throwing back the, what are we calling them? The red beers?
Oh, yeah. What are those?
It's just a,
I don't know.
It's just a beer with Bloody Mary mix. Yes, that
is a red beer.
Okay.
Thanks, Tiff.
So you can try those tomorrow for the noon game once again, which actually the Avs have a number of matinees this year.
Yeah.
Seems like they had very little last year.
Yeah.
They had like one.
Yeah. And they have like 3 weeks in a row. They have one in March or something. Yeah. So more opportunities to get in on the Breck Brews.
Well, and you notice the NFL season finishes and the NHL is like flood Sunday. People need something to do. Yeah.
Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, as we already stated, started great. Is Mikko like the most patient player in the NHL when it comes to puck management? Like almost to a fault at times, it causes him problems.
I mean, we talked about the move that Panarin made in the shootout, how it's like there's only a handful of guys that you would trust to do something like this. Like Miko's definitely in that class where he's not pressed about anything. Like he's just like, okay, well, if I just take my time, then you'll just get out of my way and I can shoot into an empty net. This is a lot easier than trying to beat you.
I mean, it's crazy when you can see guys that can change the tempo of a game. Because that's hard to do in hockey, right? Like, because usually you're just playing against another team. And when there's a guy out there that can change that tempo, watch out for that dude. If they can speed it up or slow it down. And Mikko slows it down.
There's no coincidence that the guys who slow down the games the best and make everybody play at their pace are the Mikko Rantanens and the Patrick Kanes and the Nikita Kucherovs, Artemi Panarins. Oh, these are all top 20 players that I'm talking about, by the way. And the move, because you're right, a guy that can absolutely dictate the pace of everybody else on the ice.
Yep.
It's a unique ability. And we're talking about a guy slowing it down. Well, they've got guys on the other side that will speed it up in MacKinnon and Makar, which, holy smokes, did we see later. But that Rantanen goal to start the second period, it's like it's a good passing play from everybody involved.
That's for sure.
Really nice play by Rodriguez.
I loved his commitment.
It was
falling on the ice.
I'm getting more and more comfortable with the idea that Evan Rodriguez just like belongs here.
I like him so much.
Like to me, I'm like, this is the guy that when they go into free agency next year,
just lock it down.
You keep him and you let JT go because this is a guy that's affecting games in different ways, in a way that you're not seeing from a JT.
Yep.
And because you never would believe which one of those guys is the one making $3.5 million right now, the way that Rodriguez is really, and it's been in different roles because he was super bad to start the season. But this was another really good effort where we've talked about it before. It's a skill to play with skilled players. And he went from the middle of their lineup. Now he's on their top line. And he's just seamlessly transitioned. And that pass that he makes to Mikko,
gorgeous.
I mean, he was one of several plays that he made in the game. Very good stuff from him. Should have had another assist on a PK.
Yeah, Cagliano really should have scored that.
But it's a great play by Mikko, and you know, gives them a 3-0 lead that fortunately they don't get to like enjoy very much. But it does put them there.
And look,
you can't get to six without getting to three.
That
first
goal gives the Avs a 3-goal lead for the second time in as many games.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be too harsh, but the Avs just fucking fell apart.
Well, and this is where the two stories that we talked about became intertwined.
Yep.
The Avs were not playing good, smart, disciplined hockey, and the officiating was really bad.
Yep.
And it opened up the door for catastrophe.
And it didn't
really burn them that badly.
It didn't really burn them that badly. And for starters, I really don't have that much of a problem with the first goal. You take a penalty, the reffing is what it is, and they get a tip play on you and score.
It's a great tip.
You live with
it. It's the same. I mean, we kind of skipped over JT's tip goal, but
we did.
It's basically the same thing. A guy goes in front of the net, you throw it out from out high, you get a tip, it beats a goalie. You're not mad at the goalie, you're not mad at your defense. Yep. The other team makes a nice play.
Yep. It's a great tip, too, from him.
Yeah, it's a great tip.
Yep.
And
that was just good old offensive hockey,
and those are the type of goals where you go, okay, that's why you score three, is because the other team is also good and can do things.
Yeah, when you trade those goals, you're like, all right, we're even. Yeah. We're 1-1 on these tip plays.
And it's the response, right? Because after that goal, the Avs basically spend the rest of the second period just getting completely caved. And it feels a little bit like back in 1819, 1920, with the younger Avs.
You said 1819. I'm like, man, we're going the way back.
There's a hyphen in there.
Yeah, it was just the way you said it. Just my brain was like, what happened in 1819?
When this core was younger, they had problems at times stemming the momentum when it swung back the other way.
They definitely rode that roller coaster too hard, and we're seeing it again.
Yep.
And I think that more than anything, I think that's an identity thing, and that's their full lineup isn't totally comfortable yet. They're not it's locked true. In. And how can they be? Going back to a usage problem where your lineup is so fractured into distinct usage issues, how do you develop an identity? Is Jared Bednar just trying to survive right now with this kind of usage? Is he just trying to get by? Like, okay, well, hey, I don't have Big Val. I thought I was going to have Big Val, and we're not going to have him till maybe next week when we get back. I don't know. I guess I just don't. I think it's really hard for a team to find rhythm and settle in.
What?
When they're all over the map like this. Every shift is different.
Megan, you've given us the solution to the betting. Can you give us a solution to the Avs sorting out whatever you want to call this, their inability to maintain their wildly abhorrent team defense, whatever you want to get it on? How do they fix it?
Honestly, I don't feel like this solution is coming from me either. It's coming based off of what I think Bednar is communicating with the team.
Okay.
And it seems like it is still related to chemistry and getting everyone on the team on the same page about where that effort level needs to be throughout the course of a game. I don't know if it's because there are new faces in the room that this isn't happening, because it doesn't seem like it's new people that are applying pressure incorrectly throughout the course of a game. Because this is something that troubled the Avs even last year, especially at the end of the regular season. We became really concerned with how they were able to rest on their laurels in a second period and lose control of a game as a result of not always gauging how to apply pressure correctly. So anyways, thinking back to the solution, I think it's going to come down to something mental being worked out among the team and an understanding of how this effort needs to be applied throughout a full 60 minutes. Because the talent level is obviously there. They sort of regained footing in the third. They had such a dominant first that it saved their second. You'd like to just see them play a little more comfortably. We joke about the Avs enjoying being choked a little. And that maybe it is an identity problem. Like maybe, but if they continue to win, I don't know.
And I mean, the chat, I'm sure, can already tell the difference in our emotions on this podcast in a game where they blew a 3-goal lead, but the final score is 6-3. So you're like, it's fine.
I mean, it's not, but like how you respond to it, right?
Yeah. Because
they don't give up that fourth goal.
Right.
They get the fourth goal. They recapture control of the game. And they did it in a dominant way. And we are not there yet.
We'll get there.
I think in blowing the 3-goal lead, you're like, okay, what's the difference? Because against the Islanders, it was one shift. They blow the collapses. The collapse is done. It's back. You're back to tied, and on the immediate next shift,
they get beat again. Yeah.
They give up. They give up what ends up being
the win. Not the winning goal, right? But the goal that ended it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the Islanders took control in that situation, and where this was different is that the Avs just didn't cede control. They lost the lead. But their response to that adversity was different.
They didn't cede control. I do have concerns about them having another, not to the level of the Islanders did, but giving up that second goal to Columbus tonight was a little bit of a disaster shift.
Yeah.
They kind of completely fell apart.
There's nothing good between the moment that it went from 3-0 to 3-3. There's very, very, very little good to say about the Avalanche other than they killed a couple penalties along the way. Weirdly. Oh.
I wouldn't say that this is just an Avs issue, though. Like, if you look across the league right now, this is happening a lot. It's not the old NHL where it's like you go up by a few goals, you start just shutting down, you know, your system changes almost into a trap, and then the game's over, you win. It's like you're seeing this league-wide where teams are going up big, and then the other team comes back. I mean, the talent level's there on all the teams now. You're not running into places where it's just like, you know, an ass kicking from period one to the end.
Yeah.
The part of it that's more frustrating to me is actually the defense, but we'll get to that on the third goal. The forwards defending for the Avs have pretty consistently found themselves getting lost. It happened with Line A tonight. It's a sort of 6-on-5 situation because of the delayed penalty. But Line A has from the blue line to the face-off dot to walk into.
Penalty was bullshit.
I know. But the coverage there is broken. I even pointed it out on the watch-along. Mm-hmm. You have both Sam Girard, I think it was, and JT Compher halfway commit to him. Yeah. But there's no communication. Neither of them know which guy is supposed to be taking that. And the Avs just get caught in the middle a lot, it feels like, right now.
This seems like, I've brought this up before, like, my whole thing is, like, the center of the ice right now for the Avalanche is soft, meaning that the other team is getting a lot of chances in that, you know, home plate area where they should be covered. And a lot of that has to do with the Avalanche defensive system of just attacking the puck. What's happening, though, is, like, from last year to this year is last year they won those puck battles along the boards.
Yeah.
So you didn't see the puck come out to the center of the ice where they're getting free shots. This year you're starting to see more shots coming from that home plate area, and that's a big issue. They've got to start winning those puck battles.
And the thing is, I think this is a pretty predetermined, scouted thing from teams. Yep. You're seeing teams specifically say, plop a guy right in the middle of the ice.
Yep.
And take advantage of that against Colorado.
Yep.
So we're only at game 10, but you're going to have to start seeing in-season adjustments from Colorado's defense.
Absolutely.
To counter some of the things that teams are bringing against them specifically.
Yep. Just to further this point, the Avs with a shot advantage today and a scoring chance advantage at 5v5, high danger chances are 10-4 for Columbus.
Yeah.
Because they're getting consistent chances from the middle.
And when you switch it over to all situations, 18-7 for Columbus, including 9-0 in the third period.
Jeez.
Wow.
So you're giving up the exact kinds of chances you don't want to be giving up. And it's putting extra stress on Georgiev. Who I thought was okay through most of this game and then kicked it up a notch.
Agreed.
At the end.
The only real problem I had was the Line A goal. Yes, the Avs gave Line A all the space in the world, but he's pretty holy on that goal there.
It beats him five hole, and it's not close. Like, sometimes you look at a five hole goal and you're like, that was a puck sized hole.
Yeah.
That was not a puck sized hole. That was a baby sized hole. There were a lot of pucks that would have fit into that thing. Like, it was so wide open that you're like, what is he doing there? It's just really poorly played by Georgiev.
It's just the Avs make life so hard on themselves because they get a 3-goal lead. And yes, they hold it to 3-2 at the end of the second period.
Barely.
But they've given away the opportunity that they created for themselves. And they have to then play a significantly better third period to win the hockey game. Which they don't do at the start. And, I mean, this one is just Sam Girard eating shit for the Avs, the third goal against the Avs.
Through his legs, and then he just, like, face plants, and you're like, what the hell, dude?
That was bad.
It's defended so poorly by him.
And it's something I want to chalk up to, hey, dude had a bad game, which Sam Girard absolutely did have a bad game.
Oof, he was getting obliterated in the second period.
But I can't shake this idea in my head of 4 games ago we saw EJ do the same thing, fail to intercept the pass and eat shit. Blaze, you've talked pretty consistently about how bad the Avs have been covering their net front area.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Do they need, I don't want to call it a systems overhaul, but does something need to change there?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's not working like it was last year, so you're going to have to change something. And, you know, if you trust the Avs organization, this is something that they do, and they don't shy away from waiting to change those things. There is going to be some pain, though, as they go through those changes. If they're going to address those concerns, it's going to look bad for a little bit during games until everybody buys into this new system.
I think it's interesting to see how teams are attacking them from down low, because one of the areas that the Avs just eat you up is along the wall, getting out of their zone. They fly the zone so aggressively. They put so much pressure. And we're seeing teams adjust to how the Avs want to attack. by putting the puck really low in Colorado's zone, playing behind the net, and trying to go in front of the net, not trying to go up the wall. The Avs want that.
Yeah.
The Avs are trying to funnel pucks up the wall. It's how their whole defensive system is designed, is we want to the outside and pucks going up the wall, where if we win a battle, we can break out and we'll have the numbers advantage. We're faster than everybody, so we're just going to put the Camaro into gear and vroom, 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 vroom. We, you know, they go. And so you're seeing teams have the puck down low and attack from behind going out into the front, and Colorado has not adjusted well to it. And today's game was a great example of just how bad they've defended that, because the start of the third period, you have a 3-2 lead, you've killed penalties, you think you're done shooting yourself in the foot. And then you go out there and you leave Sean Corrali. And honestly, Sean Corrali and Liam Foote,
both of them.
Both.
I thought he had his first NHL goal.
So wide open.
By his own teammate.
I'm sad.
Like, both of them are so wide open, and Eric Robinson is just sitting back there, makes an easy pass to them, to the center of the ice. Yeah. And it's a great finish, more than anything else. That's a great finish from Sean Corrali.
For sure.
But
leave a guy unattended in that area
unattended.
Continues to be, because after a second period where you hemorrhage chances,
yep,
especially in front of your net, you get out with a lead, and you're like, okay, whoo, let's not do that. Let's fix that part of this and not give up chances here. You're like 2 minutes in the third period.
Well, and you...
And you give that chance up. And it's a great finish, but what are you doing?
And
two of them. They're both there.
The expectation, especially in this game, the Avs should have had specifically blowing a lead under the microscope, given that they had 5 days to think about the 3-goal lead they just blew. And you come in and do that? Yeah. It's fair to be concerned about.
He should be. Until they get a 3-goal lead and then just hammer it home.
Don't blow.
You know, you're going to be concerned about it.
I do. Just the smallest drop of optimism there. The Avs never trailed in this hockey game.
Yeah.
They didn't fully blow it. Obviously, they won the game. So it could have been way, way worse. We are brought to you by Hassle Cattle Company. You can get your meat at hasslecattlecompany.com. Get 20% off with code DNVR20 when you check out. They'll ship it right to your door. They have a bunch of amazing beef, from Wagyu beef burgers to Wagyu sausage meat. I think it's just the same meat. They just put it in like the little
grinder. The sausages are so popular.
They literally sell us out at every they're free, but
at Broncos tailgates, people all turn into Megan style pizza wood chippers and just devour the sausages.
So go get those. They also sell tomahawk steaks, ribeyes, all the good stuff. If you want a steak dinner, they got you covered. Again, hasslecattlecompany.com to check them out there. And of course, last but not least, brought to you by Athletic Greens. We'll have to ask Jesse if they help with jet lag. I'm not sure on that one, but
good question.
They definitely help get you up and going in the morning. It's just one scoop of water.
If you're Jesse, don't you milk that on the way home?
Oh, absolutely.
You get home and you're like, I'm jet lagged, boys. I can't.
Need a week off.
I'm curious about the practice schedule too. Returning, like if they have them practicing as early as Tuesday.
I expect Tuesday. Yeah,
it's gonna be rough.
Yeah. We should get the team some athletic.
We should get the team some athletic greens.
Stop with the BioSteel drink and get some athletic greens.
Those
BioSteel
water bottles are everywhere. But athletic greens,
too.
Plenty of athletes do use it as part of their daily routine and workout and stuff like that. It's great for your immune system, so you can get that boosted. If you're coming back from Finland, after travel, most common time people get sick. So,
true.
The more you know. Check out Athletic Greens.
Because they spent time in an airport, which is
maybe
cesspool of humanity.
Go to athleticgreens.com/avalanche. Get that so you don't get sick. It'll take care of you, boost your immune system, all of that. When you order today, you get a year's supply of vitamin D to go with it. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. It was pretty dicey there in the third period. Dryden Hunt gets called for the double minor.
So they give up the goal.
Yep.
You're tied. He gets called for the double minor, and you're like, really? It's going to be like this? And you wanted to be mad about the double minor, but you're mostly just mad. Like, what are you doing? Like, tomahawking another human being with that.
Control your stick.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And it the kill was great.
Excellent penalty kill, top to bottom. The Avs flip the script and get the power play the other way. And
the PK was great in this game. We should top really, to bottom. Like, we're talking about this kill in particular, but they killed the earlier double minor on Nathan MacKinnon, and you know they get a scoring chance on that. I think that was the one
they
that
should have scored a goal.
Rodriguez to Cogliano. I don't know if that was the shaft of the stick from Mercy.
Yeah, I think
did
it was,
actually hit something?
Elvis got a piece of it somewhere.
Because I was like, that was the whole net.
It didn't hit the post.
Yeah.
Oh.
On replay, they saw far side. It never got to the post, but I couldn't tell exactly what it. I think it was the shaft of the stick.
Yeah, I think so.
So bad it might have been.
That's bad luck.
It might have been one of those ones where you're like, that dude got so lucky.
It's bad luck, but it's also, this is becoming a repeat offender for Cogliano not finishing these.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, after in the Islanders game, the Compher centering pass, and he blows it right in front where you're like, geez, man. But it was an interesting start to the third period because it was 3-2. You did have that shift. Compher to Kaut.
Yep.
Kaut hits the post and just barely.
It doesn't trickle in
off
the goalie.
Just barely doesn't get that thing to go. Then they tie it, then the 4 minutes, and you're like, you're thinking, what would that have done for Martin Kaut's confidence?
Yeah.
What would that have done for his quest to, like, stay
an NHLer? Yeah.
Which, by the way, we're talking about PK here. Martin Kaut, especially
really
on that second period double minor from MacKinnon, Martin Kaut was really, really good on the PK. And those of us who have watched the Eagles are like, not a surprise. He's been good on this unit before, but to see him be that effective and to work that hard and to just win a battle and get a puck down the ice like that, that's why he got the 9 minutes. That's why that's the stuff that he needs to do. It may be limited opportunity, but if you play well on a PK, you play well in a situation where a coach is really trusting you, that's how you continue to build it up. He needs to do a little bit more at even strength, no doubt, but he did come very close to scoring what would have been a nice goal. It was a really nice tip. And then the work on the PK, it was good from him, but that PK really just, I think, should be commended. It was a really, really solid performance overall. You when the other team goes 1-for-7 and they have two double minors, they don't score on either one of those. That could have turned the game around. That could give them momentum. You score in the first half, and then you get you get that other minor. You get the second half to try and get another one. And you go, you score on each half of the double minor. That changes games like in the blink of an eye. And the Avs just did not allow that to happen. So the PK, it gives up another power play goal. But 1-for-7, I will take a 1-for-7. Yeah. That.
Well, and.
Especially look, given the circumstances.
Depending on the angle you want to look at it, the difference in this game is the Avs win the special teams battle.
Yeah.
They get two power play goals.
In 5 chances?
Yep.
So 2-for-5 versus 1-for-7. Again, that's your difference.
And if you could take one picture and frame our frustrations with Mikko Rantanen into a single frame, would it not be him actually shooting and scoring on the one-timer from the circle in the power play that everyone has been begging him to shoot?
I mean, I've talked about it a lot so far this year, that their power play has given so many different looks. And then when it stagnated a little bit, what did it do? It settled into give it over to MacKinnon
the
to
stock,
one time.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? Why? You have Mikko Rantanen, who has scored us so many goals in the last few years. A lot of them of the one-time variety on a power play. He's that guy for you.
Yep.
Why has he been reduced to primarily playmaking and creativity versus giving him that opportunity? They do it. He rewards them.
And that was a shot and a half.
It was
a great shot.
Awesome shot.
Yeah.
That was not a, he had a lot of net to hit.
Yeah.
And he made it look prettier than it needed to be. It needed to be a good one because Merzlikins got over and contested.
Who has the best 1T on the Avs?
It's Mikko. I think then it's probably Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah, I was going to say. But I was going to say.
Mikko has shown it over and over and over and over at the NHL level that he can make that shot often enough to be a legitimate weapon on the power play. And it was great to see that come back in the arsenal, that that he's not down there below the goal line. Yep. He moved out. They make great work to get him that puck in that opportunity. Yeah. It's good puck movement all around. One-timers require, like, that play requires everybody to move.
Whoa.
And that puck movement created the movement from Merzlikins, who does a great job getting across the challenge, but a great finish from Mikko. It's a great finish.
I don't want to undersell Cale Makar on that play.
Absolutely not.
In a game, especially on a game on questionable ice, the puck was bouncing a lot in this hockey game, and Makar serves him a perfect pass that he can cut loose a one-timer on from that circle. The Avs power play continues to be their best part of their game by a pretty good margin.
I mean, it's where their skill is taking over.
Yeah.
And pushing them ahead.
But even then, like you said, yes, it's the best part of the game. You're seeing different things. You got to go from the second unit tonight. And then you have same, but different as the Avs go back to Mikko on the one-time spot there. Megan, how would you score this third period for the Avs? Because obviously they get to the 6-3 final. How do you balance that with the not so great start?
Sorry. Second period?
Third period.
Third period? And how do I compare it to the second period and the first?
I would just say, how do you rate the third, however you want to go with it?
In the scheme of this game, I don't even know, like, gold star first period, good enough third period, bad second.
Okay.
I think the first was still so strong that it won them the second and a little bit the third.
Sure.
But there were important things that happened in the third period, too, that I would still grade it a good period. It needed to be at minimum good because of how bad the second was.
Yes.
Georgiev's save on line A on a breakaway. That is when AJ said he was good and then he took it up a notch.
Yeah.
Important. Like, it cannot be understated to the role that Georgiev played in this game.
How was he on the other blue line, by the way, uncontested?
The biggest cherry picking. He was
a shift changer, or was he cherry picking?
No, he was cherry picking.
Cool. So the coaching staff was going back to squirt hockey.
The Avs,
you go stand out on the far blue line.
Attacked. Well, the Avs went all in. Everybody attacked, and they were buzzing, and they were flying around the net. And line A just, like, leaked out the back and was like, my guys will get it eventually. I'm by myself. The whole ice is a passing lane. And then your classic great shooter, not good at breakaways. And
yeah.
Like, how many times have you seen guys who are great goal scorers, but they do it with great shooting, not very good on breakaways because they don't – the guy's not moving. They've got to try and pick a spot, and they're just not comfortable with it.
Reminds me – kind of jumping backwards here, sorry.
All good.
Back to the point where we're talking about Mikko's patience. You have to respect it because go back a couple games and Mikko walks in on the shootout on Shesterkin and just rips a laser.
Well, and look at the breakaway that he scored against the Islanders. Yes. He just rolls down and just smokes a wrist shot top shelf.
Yep.
Just blows it right past Varley and you're just like, okay. Like, he can absolutely just do that to you whenever he wants.
You have to respect the shot.
Yeah.
So when he decides to be patient with it, he gets goalies to bite.
It's a great point. It's a great callback.
Sometimes lucky.
Yeah. Because it is like, you see how line A scores from that half wall with a 6-on-5 advantage. And it's not played well by Georgiev.
Yeah.
But that's where he scores a ton of his goals.
Yep.
It's from that general area right there where a lot of great shooters score a lot of their goals. But with Rantanen, we've seen his breakaways. He's able to do serious damage. And in the shootout, has been a fine shootout guy. But a guy like Line A, where it's more shot than like...
All shot, no move.
Yeah, yeah, like than like a creativity where, you know, the TJ Oshie, Troy Terrys of the world just eat goalies up because they've got an endless bag of tricks up their sleeve where they get them moving and then they're good enough to put the puck where they want to put it. But with Line A, he doesn't make any kind of meaningful move. He's got a year to think about it, which might have actually been bad because he had so much space that it was like he can get as cute as he wants.
Yep.
Because sometimes on breakaways, like Logan O'Connor is a great
overthinks
example.
It a little bit.
Where
yeah.
Logan O'Connor typically will have a guy like hounding him.
Yep.
And so he doesn't have like, he's got to shield the guy chasing him. There was none of that. This is as close to like a penalty shot in live action as you can get. And Georgiev just, he doesn't bite on anything. He doesn't sell out. He doesn't do anything. He just waits him out and just eats the puck right up. And easy peasy for him.
And look, in the third period, I think one of the big keys and what we didn't see in the game against the Islanders, when it came down to crunch time,
resolve.
It's the Avs' big guns that get the job done for you. Obviously, the Mikko goal on the power play. The follow-up goal, insane play from MacKinnon to find Kale, who finally puts one into the net.
And it was funny because Kale had just passed up.
I was actively begging him to shoot the puck as he scored the goal.
If you go and watch the watch along, you'll hear me in the background shouting, Kale! When he passed the puck. And then 4 seconds later, he scores. And you're like, dang. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was after. Thank you. Yeah. And then, oh my God, did he ever feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Because immediately he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm Kale McCarr. That's right. I'm Kale McCarr. Yeah, now, boy, that feels good. I like score goal. That felt, yeah, I'm feeling this now. Watch me dominate. And he just takes over like multiple shifts in a row. We were like, holy fuck, dude.
I loved it. I loved the way he scored the goal. It wasn't just a shot from the point. It was right in the slot.
Used his feet.
Perfect positioning. And you could see a wave of relief as it happened. And then, obviously, he switched up and he played.
A dude that does not like to show a ton of emotion.
His usual celebration is like, yep, I scored.
Yeah, okay. And he's like, bumps.
I
really did
felt
that.
It.
And that was, there was a little bit of a lion's roar there. Yep. You could tell he was feeling it. It's always great.
A little knee-high afterwards.
Oh, my God.
There was. I'm... Watch it.
You didn't need to do it on the plane, okay?
Look, all right, knee-high planes have equaled only wins to this point.
That's right.
So maybe there's something to it.
It's true.
The secret to beating jet lag.
Yeah.
Athletic greens and knee-highs. There you go.
Also, do not want to undersell. Definitely flew under the radar a little bit tonight. Nathan MacKinnon had 4 assists. And it's definitely safe to say that Avs top line, I think the power play especially on one or two of them, you're going, why? Stop passing. You're being way too cute. But you look back and you go, 4 of those passes worked out for Nathan MacKinnon. You kind of give him a little bit more of a pass. So great credit there.
I was especially happy to see the 4 assist game from MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Because watching Toronto and Edmonton fans all week while the Avs were off.
Yeah.
Like, do the superstar circle jerk.
Yeah.
And then make fun of Avs fans for being excited about Nathan MacKinnon. And it was like, I understand where y'all coming from, and I know that you guys are, like, jacked up about regular season shit, and I'm not going to get into this argument, but... Boy can play some.
A little bit.
Like just a casual reminder. Didn't have a great game, but he finished with 4 assists. So let's tone it down there, champ.
And look, the fifth goal was really the end of the game. That was the one that sealed it for Colorado, basically. Yeah. That and the Georgiev save.
There really wasn't a big push.
Yeah.
A sustained push after that where... You felt like the Avs were really in danger.
Yep.
Like they were under siege. It was very controlled.
Where you see they can be stifling like that. Yep. Like, wow, that pressure, when you decide to apply it, it is dominant.
And
but it comes late in the third.
Yeah, right. It's
like the 9-minute mark on. The Avs were just like, we're winning this.
You
we're taking over.
You watch the first 20 and the last 10, and it's like, oh, the Avs gave up 8 shots in those 30 minutes and 30 in the middle 30 minutes. Like, just play a little bit more consistently across that game and you don't make life nearly as hard on yourselves, right?
It's kind of the Avs MO, though. Right. I mean, for the last few years, right? Like, we always talk about it. It seems like they get bored for a little bit and they're like, oh, let's see what we can do by just imploding for a period and a half.
And look,
well, and some of that I think is like you just start to cut corners.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
You do a lot of little things, and hockey is a game that is predicated on consistently doing the little things correctly and at a high level. And whoever does that, you know, it's the old like St. Louis Blues, like you're boring but you're effective.
Yeah,
where they would just it was just 60 minutes of good decisions. And it was just so frustrating to try and beat. And the Avs don't do that. The Avs have 30 minutes of good decisions, and they have the kind of talent where they can style on you a little bit in a night like tonight.
Yeah.
But then those other 30 minutes, they cut corners, they get lazy, they get careless. Yeah. And then it's like, look, nobody is that good get away playing like
it's
this.
It's so unbelievably frustrating because they've shown you they're better than that. But sometimes they just decide not to be. King of the game, come on. There's literally zero doubt about who's getting king of the game in
Force
Finland.
This, baby.
Oh, my God. Shut your mouth.
The first, game is... First goal of the year, JT Comper. What a trip.
The only NHL hat trick ever in the country of Finland. It's going to Mikko Rantanen, obviously.
Aww.
It's beautiful. Look at that image.
Oh.
You know, they definitely forced the hat trick goal pretty hard, but it still counts the same. So.
The hats were so delayed.
I thought they were too. I was like, did I not see that correctly?
And well, and I'm like, I know multiple people at this game. I know y'all motherfuckers own hats. Where are they at?
A lot of people went, I paid $70.
That's what I said. I was joking downstairs. I was like, hats are $50 these days. That thing not going to some poor kid in like some charity in Finland or whatever. No. That is too expensive for that.
Love to see it. The first hat trick of the year. I have to pour water on my head now.
It's a weird tradition.
It is weird. It's a strange one. I don't know how we got here, but we did.
I mean, when you go a fucking decade without it.
That's not a real word. You made that up.
Oh, that was the safe word from Eurotrip. Yeah. Yeah, that was the safe word from Eurotrip.
Let's get to the super chats here. $2 from Kevin, who says the moose with the hat.
By the way,
yeah, it was a 4.9.
Yeah,
I know.
Just to make sure we gave him proper credit here, it ended up as a 4.9 for him.
Pretty good. Thank
also,
you for the two, Kevin.
Bad. 6 shots. Shot 50%.
Not bad.
It's pretty good.
D Grow with the 5 saying for sure there was a holding on Mac that should have been a penalty. There was a few
in the defensive zone there along the boards.
And again, that's the frustration with the refs isn't that they're calling soft stuff. It's that it's wildly inconsistent.
That was right at the end of the second because it looked like he started yelling at the ref right afterwards.
Well, and the start of the third period, you remember like the first shift, Rantanen's like screaming at the ref. Yeah. Like punching himself in the face to show him like,
he hit me like this.
he hit me in the face, dude. And Rantanen was like, there's a difference between like shouting at the end. His face is turning red.
You'll see every penalty, the guy who gets called will be like, ah, fuck off or whatever. But Mikko was like, no, we're having a chat.
Something, whatever it was, did not get called. And he was living.
Yep. $2 from Aaron, who says, good excuse to day drink today. Hey, boys, go Avs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say
the mimosas were delicious. Come by tomorrow with more mimosas.
I turned down the alcohol for today because I have like actual shit to do today. But tomorrow,
it's happening.
We getting that brunch
on. Moose-mosas.
Yeah. Moose-mosas.
We getting that brunch on tomorrow. If I have to go into a Bellini Fest, that's fine too.
Brunch menu is fire.
Yeah,
too.
Dude. Brunch is about it.
They do have steak and eggs too as well.
I know. That's part of the brunch menu, man. I went to Pete's Kitchen with homies this morning.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
I was not like I'm still not hungry. Like I'm that was plenty.
Pizza's you get a lot of food at pizza.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Too many hash browns. Yeah. It's way too many hash browns.
$5 from Sonny, who says, "Much love, DNVR crew. Moose is loose. I'm here at work cheering the W calmly. It's warrant resolution day at my work." So work face mode first.
Yeah, knowing Sonny for a long time, I refuse to believe that man has ever done anything calmly. Anything. That is an intense hockey fan.
And $10 from Justin, who says, "Rudolph, thanks for the treasure map for the high seas adventure." Got you. Thank you very much for the super chats. Any final thoughts? Anything anybody wanted to touch on?
Winning is way more fun.
Oh, true.
We talked, like, cut the shit. You're better than Columbus. Just go and beat them. They toyed with the food for a little bit today, but they closed. They closed, and you definitely, you'd asked Megan earlier, you know, how do you grade the third period?
Yep.
A bad start, but a strong finish, like, which do you think Columbus would have preferred at that point?
The only grade that matters at the end of the day is a W.
Yeah, and that's hey, that's 2 points. Yep. Bam. We were joking yesterday. Oh, they're out of the playoff picture. Like,
they're right back in it now.
Oh, okay, well then now they're back.
Yep.
So the win is great, but it should be the kind of win that it was. Should be that kind of confidence builder. Where you saw a lot more Avalanche hockey.
Yep.
You saw more guys get involved. Some guys, you know, Newhook with 2 points in two games. Confer gets his first goal. Rodriguez gets his first assist. Like, some guys start to get some things here. Your depth showed up. Your defense balled out offensively. I mean, tons of points for that defense today. I think Josh Manson is the only defenseman who did not register a point today. So, and Devontae's had two.
Yep. Kale also had two.
I mean, you're just talking just a very, like, Avs. Spread. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Knack.
We're getting there. We're getting great. There.
Well, because you, final thoughts. My final thoughts are winning is more fun.
Good, good.
I mean, bottom feeders, you got a stun on those hoes. That's basically it for that.
No cap.
Okay. Megan, you have a final thought?
No.
Should the Avs claim Knack?
Yes.
The timing of it is so weird.
Yeah.
Because the deadline to claim him tomorrow is puck drop.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how that works. If they put in a claim, and they won't know because they could put in a claim, but they won't know if they get him until noon tomorrow.
Yep.
So the game is starting. I don't know how the cap works with if they were to claim him.
Because he'd technically be on the roster.
Would they have to then not only sit, but officially send down a guy like a McDonald?
Well, maybe that's why Mac only played 3 minutes tonight.
Like, which we talked about. Like, if you're not going to play that guy, then you're not playing him. Like, quit fucking around here.
The Eagles need him. Please give him back.
God, that defense definitely
it's rough. Yeah.
Needs some help other than Brad Hunt when it comes to puck moving.
But on the defensive side, having Knack in the lineup is, I think, an improvement over
where you're comfortable. Like, this is a guy that would immediately come in and be comfortable, whatever.
Yep.
But do you really need another one of, like, those guys? Because that's not a guy that gives you consistent help. We talked about how he had 11 goals last year. He's not scoring 11 goals again this year.
Yeah.
He's probably not putting up 22 points again, and
he's really a healthy scratch once Nuke and Helm are back.
Yeah, and like, so it's really like he doesn't, you would claim him. He won't play for you tomorrow. He physically can't.
Yeah.
You would obviously, the claim would happen before puck drop, but you won't know because other teams could also claim him.
Yeah.
They won't know if they get him or not. So where does he play? Where does, in my mind, what does he do that makes you better? For sure, better.
Long term, I don't know that he does for sure.
He maybe takes, so he would take out a McDonald from the lineup now.
Yep.
Darren Helm comes back. Now your bottom six is Nicholas Abe Kubel and Martin Kaut and JT Compher and Andrew Cogliano and Logan O'Connor and
Dryden Hunt's in there.
And Dryden Hunt. And you're like, these are like, it's so many like fourth line guys.
Yep.
Where you're like, when you start to get, because Natushkin and Helm are not long term.
Yep.
They both should be back pretty soon. Yep. Especially Nuke, who's
Nuke
like,
could play tomorrow. We don't
right,
know.
Yeah. Like went out in warmups and tested it out. To the like that's how close that is. So by the time they don't play again until next Thursday.
Yep.
So you would get him, but
He could literally be back on waivers before his first game with the Avs.
It's like putting a instead of taking a Band-Aid off and replacing it with a new Band-Aid, it's like putting a Band-Aid on an old Band-Aid. And you're just like, is that any better? Or do you just have now two Band-Aids on it? On this like wound of yours? Like you skin your knee, you put a Band-Aid on it. You're like, all right, well, I need to change out the bandage. Instead of doing that, you just put a Band-Aid going across the other way. You got a little X now. Now you got two Band-Aids on the same thing. Are you any better off? Is that helping you recover any faster? I mean, maybe it has a placebo effect. Is that the point of it?
Would
the placebo effect be enough to get Jared Bednar to chill out with
actually
his
play those dudes a little bit?
Because he would be comfortable with Knack.
Yeah. Yep.
Where, you know, Knack would, if Knack and Natushkin both were to be in the lineup on Thursday against Nashville, next Thursday, that takes out Maltsev, that takes out McDonald.
Yep. Maybe.
A couple of guys that he's very comfortable with and very familiar with. Is the placebo effect there enough?
Hmm. For me, no.
It's a no for me.
It's also a no for me.
Okay. I'm picking him up. Let's go.
Like, you got Dryden Hunt.
Yep.
Like, you did this already. And if you pick Knack up, do you then put Dryden Hunt back
on
waivers? And you're just like, well, thanks for the memories. You're welcome for the free Finland trip.
Okay. We're going to get out of here. Everyone wish Mrs. Ruto a happy birthday. And that's all we got.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.